for contamination than might be, and it's a serious concern because we have warm-blooded animals here locally that carry, for example, Giardia, that comes to the water source in a cyst stage. It's very hard to control. It's very hard to kill them, to disinfect for them. In fact, Giardia cysts are at the basis of many of the water treatment rules.
And Charlie, to add to that, I understand that a cyst, either Giardia or Crypto, is about 7 microns. They're relatively large.
Yeah, they use that to the advantage of being able to remove them, because that they're large enough to be caught by a whatever micron filter is smaller than the bug size. And the other way is to burn them up somehow. Chlorine does a very particularly poor job at it, which is sort of ironic because you might say it's the number one disinfectant approved sort of worldwide, and it's abysmally bad at killing these bugs, because it takes a long time for the water with chlorine in solution to be exposed to that, we call that contact time, to break down the hard shell of the outside of that cyst. And you'll be happy to know that ozone, however, is 3,000 times faster.
I understand that too. And wasn't it the city of Milwaukee a few years ago that had this issue where they were just chlorinating the water with the assumption that was sufficient?
Yeah, was that Cryptosporidium or Giardia?
Well, it was one or the other. I don't recall now, but if they can use ozone first and then chlorinate to maintain the residual for a municipal water district. What I was talking about on the springs, more locally here, is the idea of if you have power, then maybe using something like UV purification systems, or an individual who doesn't have power, what might they do? Can they get into submicron filtration? What's the option for someone who doesn't, either with or without power?
Well, you know, for my preference, you'd keep them out to begin with.
Absolutely, yep.
But secondarily, let's say you've got, oh goodness, I know a family that uses an open pond for years, in fact.
Yum.
the mom was, she lived to be 96 and, you know, had big biceps and was, healthy every day up till then. But anyway, so for that type of situation, you're going to want some way to filter it, and then we could get into the whole list of treatment options.
Well, I was going to cover pond shortly, and of course, people go, they think at first, well, my goodness, you're drinking pond water. Well, hello, most Californians drink pond water. We just call them reservoirs. It's, you know, it's the same, same idea.
Water skiers going back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting. On spring water, if I have a power available, I think that's a simple thing I like to use is a UV sterilizer.
Will that take care of those little cysts we were talking about?
Well, the older ones, the older models, you might say, they always specified to pre-filter. I think they were just covering themselves. The newer ones, by UL standards, say they do take care of crypto. However, I'd still wouldn't hesitate, and in fact, I still recommend putting in a 5-micron filter, an absolute 5-micron filter before, and then follow it up immediately with a UV light. And again, this would just be for your domestic water. I'm not worried about the garden water. But any place you're going to be drinking, you should deal with. Basically, all this water purification is for domestic. If you're going to have a system without available power, and if you're producing your own power, this comes up, a lot of people will consider, can I put a UV system on a timer and run it 12 hours a day? You know, I can't handle the continuous draw from a UV lamp, which, by the way, only uses about 50 watts. Not a lot, but if you're producing your own power, a 24-hour pull on is quite a bit. The issue, and it was brought up to my attention today, just the other day, is that, if you're dedicated and religious about this, that you won't use the water, let's say, from 8 o'clock at night till 8 o'clock in the morning, and you turn the system off, that's fine. But if someone gets up and uses the toilet or uses any water at all, or more importantly, if you have a leak that you're not aware of, now you're introducing or potentially introducing water through the UV system without disinfection. So,
well, couldn't you just take the UV purified water and put it to storage, put it into a good sealed storage tank, and then any water that goes in there has gone through the UV, and then and at nighttime you're not putting, or off your solar peak hours, whatever you want, you're not putting the water into the tank, so therefore you can take the water on demand anytime you want and be assured of its purity.
Yeah, that's true. And you could do that. I mean, you're thinking of like a point of use filtration. Like, in other words, in your kitchen, on your kitchen counter, you've got a crock pot full of 5 gallons of purified water.
No, I was thinking of purifying it between the source and the storage.
Okay, that's another.
So any water that goes into that tank is done. It's ready to go.
Okay. There is, basically, what we're addressing, there's ways of getting around it. You're still using power, but you could conceivably.
Yeah.
Put in a UV system that gives you, let's say, 10 gallons a minute, fill your tank up, and just use it as needed.
Yeah.
But say you're secure with the water and you want to drink it. That's what we're trying to get to. As far as getting into submicron filtrations, again, as you mentioned earlier, start with the coarse filter down to maybe a 10 to a 5 to a 1. But if you're really trying to get bacteria out with a filter, my understanding is you really have to get down to submicron, like 0.4.
Well, that's you get into what they call microfiltration and reverse osmosis. They're kind of they're a little bit techy. You know, they're complicated, and you need energy in the sense that you need high pressure to get it across the membrane. But there's another thing. That's all fine. The initial cost is up there, but. Those types of filters wash themselves constantly.